Welcome to D&B College. In this lesson, we're building a concrete echo approach to old-school D&B in Ableton Live 12, right inside the arrangement view. The goal is to take a killer break, lock it to a disciplined sub, and use short, dark echo throws to turn a loop into a proper record. Think dusty, tense, physical, and DJ-friendly. Not glossy, not overcooked, just that warehouse pressure where every small change matters. Why this works in D&B is simple. People don't hear drum and bass as one endless loop. They hear phrases. They hear the snare telling them where the bar lives. They hear the bass locking under that snare and making the floor move. And they hear transitions, especially when echo is used like punctuation instead of decoration. That's the whole idea here. The echo should feel like a concrete rebound, not a shiny delay effect floating around the top of the mix. Start by thinking in phrases, not loops. Set your arrangement around 16-bar sections, with an 8-bar change inside each one. A good starting shape is a 16-bar intro, 16-bar first drop, 8-bar tension lift, and then 16 bars of second drop evolution. Don't get trapped polishing a 2-bar idea forever. Duplicate the loop, stretch it to phrase length, and listen early for how the groove behaves across boundaries. That's where the track starts becoming a record. Now choose your break. You want a break with enough transient personality to survive chopping, something with a strong snare identity and a bit of grit. In Ableton, simpler in slice mode is a very practical way to get going fast. Keep the break's roll clear. For this sound, the break usually works best as the main drum engine, with only light reinforcement. If you layer too much on top too early, you can lose that raw old-school character. As you chop, keep the musical bits, preserve the snare accents, keep ghost notes and hats if they help the swing. And if the sample has unnecessary low-end rumble, clean it up with EQ8. Often a high pass somewhere around 80 to 120 Hz on the break itself is enough to keep the low-end from getting muddy before the bass even arrives. The break should still feel like it wafts forward. If every slice feels gridlocked, the groove will lose that unruly energy that makes the style hit. Before you even touch the echo, build the drum hierarchy. If the break needs more club authority, add a clean kick or a tight snare reinforcement, but keep it supportive. On the drum bus, a little EQ cleanup, a touch of drum bus, maybe a very modest saturator drive, can give the break some density without flattening the life out of it. What you want is contrast. The drum hit needs to be punchy enough that the echo later feels like a shadow, not a smear. Now for the heart of the technique, the concrete echo chain. Build it on a return track or a dedicated audio track using echo, then EQ8, then a touch of saturator or drum bus for grit. Keep the delay time short. 1/8, dotted 1/8, or 1/16 can all work depending on whether you want bounce or chatter. Keep the feedback moderate. The important part is not the obviousness of the delay, but the character of the reflection. Darken the repeats, cut the low end aggressively, and take some top off above roughly 4 to 8kHz. You want the echoes to feel like they're bouncing off a hard room surface, not sparkling in a polished space. A big mistake is sending the whole break into the delay. Don't do that. Feed the echo selectively. Send snare tails, ghost snares, hat stabs, and the occasional phrase-ending accent. In arrangement view, automate the send or clip gain so only certain hits trigger the effect. This is where the idea becomes structural. The echo is not just a sound, it's an arrangement cue. What to listen for here is really important. Listen for whether the echo answers the drum like a shadow. If it sounds like delay effect, it's probably too obvious. If it sounds like the room replying to the snare, you're in the zone. That's the difference between a production trick and a proper D&B device. Now shape the bass around that space. For old-school breakbeat D&B, the bass should often be disciplined, sub-led, and centered. A simple sub-layer from operator or wavetable works beautifully. Keep it mono with utility. If you want a mid-layer, use a controlled grease or dirt texture, but keep it above the sub-band and don't let it smear the low end. A lot of the time, less movement in the bass actually sounds heavier, because it leaves room for the break to speak. You can think of the bass choice as a decision between two moods. Bar sub stabs give you a colder, more classic jungle and rollers feel. A more active grease phrase gives you a heavier modern dark club feel. Both can work. Just remember that the sub has to stay firm and centered. If you widen the low end too much, the whole arrangement starts losing its anchor. Now bring drums and bass together and listen before adding more ideas. This is a crucial check. Does the snare still feel like the anchor? Do the ghost notes still breathe? Does the bass leave enough room for the echo tail to land without stepping on the next kick? Often the fix is not less bass, it's less clutter in the low mid area. Be disciplined here. That discipline is what makes the track feel premium. And here's another useful listening test. Mute the break and ask yourself whether the bass still feels locked to the snare. Then mute the bass and ask whether the break still sounds like a convincing old-school D&B loop. If both answers are yes, your foundation is strong. That's the point where the arrangement starts earning its energy instead of borrowing it from effects. Now build the arrangement around the echo as a phrase marker. Use it at the end of 4-bar and 8-bar phrases. Let the intro feel relatively dry, with only a few filtered break fragments and one or two small echo clues. Then bring in the full drop with the break and sub, but keep the echo restrained. Save the bigger throw for the end of the first 8 or 16 bars. That way the listener feels progression, not constant novelty. Progression. A really effective structure is this. Dry and tense at the start, full groove on the drop, a phrase-ending echo at the turnaround, then a slightly evolved second half. You might strip the kick for a beat and let one haunted break hit ring out. Or you might let a snare throw bloom into the next phrase. It's not about filling every space. It's about making the spaces mean something. If you want to push it further, print the important echo throws to audio. This is especially useful once the timing is right but the tone needs sculpting. When the delay becomes waveform, you can cut it cleanly against the break, shorten the tail, and avoid any unwanted low-end spill. In a lot of D&B workflows, that's faster and cleaner than endlessly automating a live send. Commit when the rhythm is right and you're just refining tone. Keep editing if the echo is still fighting the snare. For the second drop, introduce one meaningful variation. Maybe a different slice in the last 2 bars. Maybe a darker, more degraded echo. Maybe a brief bass dropout before the return. Just one strong change is enough. This is a style where too many edits can actually weaken the hypnotic pull. The second drop should feel like an upgrade, not a rewrite. A few bonus tips will help this hit harder. Darken the repeats, not the source. Keep one section drier than you think, because contrast makes the echo more powerful when it arrives. If the echo needs more impact without getting louder, increase saturation on the return and trim some low mids. Density often reads better than level. And always mono-check the drop and outro. If the groove still feels heavy in mono, you're probably in good shape. What to listen for as you refine the echo is whether it supports the snare instead of covering it. If the tail starts masking the phrase ending, shorten the feedback or darken the repeats more with EQ8 after echo. If the break loses urgency, reduce the send and make the transition cue more obvious through the drum editing itself. In other words, don't rely on the effect to do the arrangement's job. A strong old-school D&B arrangement usually has a dry zone and an activity zone. Let the first part of a section stay tight and readable, then let the last bar or two carry the echo and edits. That contrast gives the listener a sense that the phrase moved somewhere. It also makes the tune much easier to mix in a set, because the outro can stay clean enough for another record to come in without the whole thing turning to fog. So here's the big picture. Build the break first. Make the snare readable. Keep the bass mono and disciplined. Use echo as a structural device, not a constant wash. Darken the repeats. Feed them selectively. Let the arrangement breathe in 8s and 16s, and make the second half evolve with one clear, intentional change. If your result sounds like a dirty room full of moving drums, a solid sub, and echoes hitting like concrete rebounds, you've nailed the shape. Now take the mini practice challenge. Build a 16-bar concrete echo loop using one break source, one bass layer, and one echo return or printed throw track. Keep the sub mono. Limit yourself to just a few drum edits outside the core loop. Then do the self-check. Mute the echo and see if the D&B loop still works. Mute the bass and see if the drums still carry the phrase. If both answers are yes, you've got a real foundation. Keep it tight. Keep it gritty, and trust the groove. That's how this style comes alive.